What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on here, a lot of breaking news we're going to get into. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations here. Now, again, it is Valentine's Day. And a rather interesting revelation in this article, there's a steady decline in the number of people celebrating Valentine's Day, but the amount of spending has increased constantly because, like so many of our other holidays, it's being seized on as a marketing opportunity. And I saw a story on Fox News just yesterday about how the average woman would be spending $35 for her Valentine's Day gift, whereas the average man would be spending something like $330. So it's kind of a little biased. You know, there's no equality there. It's like the old saying, you know, man's best friend is a dog, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. And how that ever came on out here. And apparently this year the trend is yellow gold, and they're saying it could set a new Valentine's spending record. And, of course, gold jewelry is very often exempt from seizures. And that's something rather interesting to think about as we get close to an economic upheaval, which might have the government order people to, you know, turn in their gold like Roosevelt did here. Okay, so let's get on over to the border wall debate. The latest word now is that Trump is going to sign the spending bill to get the government back into operation for the rest of the fiscal year, and he is going to declare a national emergency in order to get the difference between what Congress gave him for the border wall and what he wants. So that is the latest development. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that Trump told him he intends to sign the spending bill and declare a national emergency in order to get the rest of the funding. I think it's the best course of action. The government gets back to work and Trump gets his wall built. And I can just imagine how the Democrats are howling because they wanted to basically deny Trump his wall just to be able to say, We can't let him win. And we're already hearing that Democrats and others are going to be going into court. If he declares a national emergency, they're going to go to court and say, no, he can't do that, and just try and tangle it up in court for a very, very long time. Get as many of those illegal immigrants in here to vote Democrat as they possibly can. Even the National Butterfly Center is trying to get an injunction against the wall because apparently the wall is getting in the way of butterflies flying back and forth. Actually, I have a clue for you, National Butterfly Center. Butterflies can fly over the wall. And the kind of wall that we're talking about now is the one with the steel slats. The butterflies can fly between the steel slats. It's just all about lawfare and trying to jam this thing up. But a lot of people on the right are still wishing that Trump had held out to get Congress to fully fund the wall. Again, because of that chest thumping, who's going to win, who's going to lose, and politics is perception. So they're angry, and apparently the White House is trying to do some calm down here. And apparently they called Lou Dobbs and Sean Hannity and, you know, just tried to, we need the support because there are still concessions in the spending bill that would have not have happened without that 5-week partial government shutdown. So we'll see how that is going to work. Now, of course, we have yet to see the declaration of a national emergency. And I'm tired of being tweeted what's going to happen. I want to see stuff happen now. It isn't real until it's steel. I hope I can use that for the southern border fence. But it's like the promises he made when he was campaigning. They sounded good. They didn't happen. Anyway, interestingly enough, the budget bill, and a lot of people are already complaining. They're saying it's just awful. Apparently, twice as much money was allocated for, quote, refugee assistance, end quote, than for the border wall itself. In other words, they're spending twice as much money to take care of these people sneaking into our country than to build the wall to keep them from sneaking into this country. So you just think about that. I mean, all this money for refugee assistance, and we're talking about, you know, provides aid, buses, legal shields to the migrants. And again, where is the money for our homeless veterans? That's what I want to know. We have legal American citizens sleeping in tent cities right now. All right, we're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And we're going to take a call from Jim in Chicago. Jim, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. This proves that Donald Trump is not a deal maker. The deal that was on the table, and he could have signed it before the shutdown, was a much better deal than this particular deal. Now, as far as the national emergency, does that mean he's going to be taking money from FEMA, the Army, and other places?
Well, we already know that the Pentagon has informed Trump that they have some unallocated funds, because they got lots of money over there at the Pentagon, and that they could come up with that money. Then we have Ted Cruz's deal. Civil forfeiture applies in the case of El Chapo. It's not like he's going to be able to do anything with his wealth sitting in that little tiny, tiny room in that supermax prison. So there's something like $14 billion in there. That's enough money to really start thinking about a truly solid fence reaching all the way from San Diego to the Rio Grande. And then buy a couple of crocodiles to put in the Rio Grande.
You know, I normally don't agree with Ted Cruz, but as far as getting money from El Chapo, I agree with that 100%. But again, I'm just concerned that there's going to be so many lawsuits where Trump won't be able to do anything. That's my concern.
Well, it is a valid concern, but I think Ted Cruz makes a valid point. I think a lot of people are supporting, because after all, if we build that wall, we know that a big part of the drug smuggling operation is going to be slowed down, stopped, along with the illegal immigration.
Right.
The two go.
Okay, Michael.
Sorry?
I was going to say, I'm going to let you go. I have something else to do. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Yeah, people smuggling and the drug smuggling go together. Very often, these illegal immigrants, as they cross the border, they're carrying backpacks of illegal drugs. That fence is going to help deal with the illegal street drug problem in this country. Won't deal with the prescription opioid crisis, but that's a task for another time. Back to the phones here. James in South Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, you used to say that you didn't like the Electoral College. I haven't heard you mention it lately. Maybe you have. I just missed it. What is your position on the Electoral College today?
Well, I'm still having to think about the issue. I think I'm on the fence with it, mostly because the Electoral College is a system to prevent the most populous states from simply dominating every election, which would be like California, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas. And everybody else, really, it doesn't matter which way they vote. So I do need to put a little bit more thought into it. But questions about the Electoral College are irrelevant until we get an honest, verifiable election system. And that is where I'm really upset with Donald Trump, because he came in, he campaigned talking about election fraud. And he came on in, he was going to have this Election Integrity Commission, and he set it all up. They went on out. They started running in, obviously, to resistance from the state election commissions, who don't want their dirty little secrets aired. And then Trump just shut it down. Trump should have sent, the FBI with this election commission into these states and said, look, you give us these records. You don't have a right to refuse. This is a federal investigation. And he'll pay the price for it in 2020.
I agree. With the Electoral College, there are not but 100 electoral votes that don't have that are not directly aligned with population. That is less than 20% of the entire Electoral College. And to me,
well, that is an issue that I have to think about why we have electors that are not attached to state populations. Is it simply a blanket 2 electors per state?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 2 electors per state. It was set up like that, in my opinion, because the states were originally elected. I mean, the state legislatures originally elected the senators. That was changed in 1913.
Yeah.
That's the way it was originally set up. And the small states were supposed to have a lot of power over and above, just the population. And it was meant so that the big states would not dominate the small states.
And well, if you sounds had, like a good idea to me. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, I mean, you used to be opposed to it. A lot of people are opposed to it. But if they wanted to make it and do it constitutionally, they could give electoral votes to each individual representative district. And instead of the entire state of California, the state of Texas, wherever, they would break up the electoral votes according to the district in which they voted. And it would not be a winner-take-all. There are 2 states that do that now, I think. I think it's Maine and Nebraska.
And yes.
There are other things. I mean, and nobody remembers this, but in 1960, Senator Harry Byrd got 15 electoral votes. And that was because some of the, not for good reasons at the time, but I think Alabama and Mississippi somehow or another voted for a non-scheduled set of electors. In other words, the electors could vote any way they wanted to, and they chose to vote for Harry Byrd. There are other things that can be done. But this thing they're doing now with the Electoral College is they're getting individual states to vote, to agree to vote the way that the popular vote goes. Now, I'm not sure that's illegal or anything, because each end of the electors do have the right to vote the way they want to, as far as I know.
But, here's where it gets to be a little bit tricky, because in theory, we the people are supposed to be electing the president, and it is possible for the Electoral College to reverse the will of the people. Remember back in 2016, there was actually a campaign by the Hillary Clinton campaign to try and convince the electors to vote for her. So it is perfectly legal. Now, that mechanism was basically justified when it was set up by saying, in case there was a populist demagogue that was seen as a threat to the country, the electors could intervene and put somebody else. And I believe at one point in history, the Electoral College did hand the presidency to somebody who lost the popular vote. And I don't mean Donald Trump. I'm talking about...
Oh, it's happened 5 times.
Okay.
So it's not unusual, you know, in American history at all. But I don't know what if you wish to have a republic as opposed to a constitutional republic, you would have to go and change the constitution. I mean, again, it seems that the small states and ways of life and local economies should be represented, as opposed to being stomped on by the big states. You'd make all the small states like the backyard of the country. They would just put anything they wanted to in the low population states.
Well, I think the reason
some pushback over and above.
I think, let me step in here for a second. I think the reason that it wasn't really thought all the way through was when the Constitution was being written. Overall population density was very low. The people were spread out more or less uniformly across farming country. I mean, there were a few cities like Philadelphia, but not the giant population centers we see now. So I don't think the founding fathers anticipated the variance in population from state to state. I mean, California wasn't even part of the country back then. Neither was Texas. It was just again, the original 13 states, and they were all pretty much about the same size, except for New York was a little bit larger, and so was Pennsylvania. But again, they didn't really have huge populations.
It's just something to think about. I mean, to have, I would be afraid of a direct popular vote for the presidency. And I think
all of this is moot until we know the voting system itself is accurate, honest, verifiable, and we don't have that. And until we have that, all these other discussions are rather pointless. So, James, thanks an awful lot. I'm going to let you go. And we're going to get on back here to the news. Okay, so the Angel families once again have stormed into House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office with calls to secure the U.S. southern border. Once again, they were turned away. Now, the Angel families are Americans whose loved ones have been killed by illegal aliens. And they basically flooded into the office with questions as to why their many requests for meetings with the speaker go unanswered. And front office staff had little to offer in the way of an answer and wouldn't give an idea of when so much as an aide would be available to meet with them. Nancy doesn't want to talk with them. Nancy doesn't want the American public dealing with the fact that, yes, illegal immigrants are committing crimes, including murder. All right, well, we already talked about Ted Cruz here. We already talked about the National Butterfly Center. That really is silly here. All right, yesterday we were talking about this sort of confrontation, if you will, between Representative Ilhan Omar and Elliot Abrams. And it was rather spectacular to watch, and you could see that Abrams was getting very, very upset. So she came on in and started her time saying that he pleaded guilty to two counts of withholding information from Congress in the Iran-Contra scandal and his subsequent pardon by George W. Bush. And Omar said, "I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful." And apparently at that point, Abrams started to get red. Now, this is all taking place during the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And then Omar went on to say, "Would you support an armed faction within Venezuela that engages in war crimes, crimes against humanity, or genocide if you believe they were serving U.S. interests as you did in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua?" So you don't mess with the Omar. She has her facts, and I think Abrams is going to go on doing what he's doing, but she did score some points on him. Apparently, William Barr now has enough votes to be confirmed as the next attorney general, and I know it's kind of a mixed bag. The Democrats are, of course, concerned that he is going to try and limit the scope of Robert Mueller's investigation. Which it was supposed to be under the special counsel law. Special counsels have a very narrow scope. They're not supposed to just go on fishing expeditions in all directions, which is what Robert Mueller did. So we'll see what's going to happen. We've just had this horrible track record recently of one crooked attorney general after another, after another, after another, after another. So we'll see what's going to happen on that one. Now, Andrew McCabe has a new book out, and in it is a bombshell revelation that the Department of Justice apparently seriously talked about recruiting Mike Pence to remove Trump from the presidency with the 25th Amendment. More about this when we get back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And if you would like to help out Republic Broadcasting, and trust me, they really do need the help. This equipment is getting old. And of course, these days, equipment isn't really manufactured to last all that long. They want you to come back and buy new ones over and over and over again, which is going to be a bit of a trick here because the music store that we used to get equipment from just closed. So I guess I'm back to ordering everything on eBay. Anyway, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. And of course, you can also pledge to be a recurring subscriber. So we're talking about this revelation that Andrew McCabe put in his new book, that the Department of Justice reportedly held meetings discussing the possibility of having Mike Pence replace Trump as the president, justifying the de facto coup by invoking the 25th Amendment. Now, if you read the 25th Amendment, all it takes is enough people willing to sign statements saying they don't think the president is functioning and he can be removed. And then the burden is on the president to prove that he's perfectly okay and able to return to work. So apparently the discussions occurred after James Comey's firing, and Rod Rosenstein was part of those discussions. And apparently last year, Rosenstein actually suggested removing Trump via the 25th Amendment, comments he later described as not serious. Come on, guys. Everybody's always talking about the 25th. I mean, there's nothing there. And by the way, Mike Pence was on Fox News earlier today, you know, saying, I never heard anything about 25th Amendment from anybody. So I think, you know, and let's face it, Donald Trump is going to have to look at this and he's going to have to say, all right, something needs to be done. Now, McCabe, again, pushing his new book, is going to be on 60 Minutes this Sunday. And apparently he's saying that he was the one who ordered the obstruction of justice probe of President Trump. And that the reason that he did it is that he wanted the inquiries to be documented and underway so they'd be difficult to quash without scrutiny. Basically said, I didn't want them to close or vanish in the night without a trace. It was just harassment. Anyway, Trump, meanwhile, has chimed in on Twitter, and he slammed McCabe for giving Hillary Clinton a pass on all of her corruption, which McCabe did. And remember, McCabe has admitted to lying to the Department of Justice's Inspector General. So, anyway. Okay. Talking about the election system here. It is an embarrassment. It is an embarrassment. Here are the top 20 states with more voters than actual citizens. Number one is California, that has 1,736,556 more registered voters than actual people. Second place is Michigan, with roughly a quarter of a million. Third place is Georgia, roughly 200,000. Same with North Carolina, Indiana. Washington State, about 170,000. Illinois, 116,000. Florida, 100,000. Virginia, 90,000, Kentucky, 80,000, Mississippi, 43,000, Iowa, 31,000, Texas, 30,000, Maine, 30,000, Missouri, 27,000, New Jersey, 26,000, Maryland, 25,000, Connecticut, 17,000, Alabama, 15,000. These are all active voter registrations, and especially look out in California, 1,000,007. Something has to be done about this. Our election system is a joke, and it is being used and exploited to basically steal elections at pretty much every level of our government to keep a certain favored group in power perpetually. That's why they were so upset when Trump won in 2016. He wasn't supposed to. Hillary was preordained to be the first female U.S. president. But the American people just never liked her. They didn't like her policies. And they voted against Hillary so overwhelmingly that they overwhelmed the election fraud. That's what it comes down to. There was massive election fraud against Donald Trump, but you can't reverse a landslide or it becomes really obvious what you're doing. Okay, now, as you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is out there with her Green New Deal and doesn't seem to realize or accept that a lot of people are finding some serious fault with it. Now, we have to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
Hey, and aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking now about the Green New Deal. And Macon McArdle basically came on out with this excoriating articles and basically says, you know, we're nuts isn't a great pitch for a Green New Deal. So he whipped out his calculator and he basically estimated that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez plant would require the entire population of the United States, or at least those who aren't unwilling to work, to drop whatever they're doing and start training to become insulation installers, HVAC technicians, electricians, automotive engineers, or demolition experts. I'd go the latter one. But even a quarter of that effort doesn't really seem very practical. And that was my argument when it first came on out. And I looked at it and I said, it can't be made to work. The numbers just aren't there. It sounds good. It panders to the ultra-liberal left. You know, it plays into, you know, the climate gate, global warming. We're going to have more plants and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it all sounded really good, except that there was no provision in there how to actually get it done. And that tends to be a failure with a lot of plans that come out of Washington, D.C. They're basically written to sound good on the radio or look good on TV, and the implementation just isn't there. And I guess the politicians figure, well, we'll just hire some consulting firm and they'll figure out how it's going to work. But I think it would be wise to be able to look at some of these proposals and just at a glance. And again, whip out the calculator and just see, is this in any way close to being realistic? And in the case of the Green New Deal, for much of it, the answer is definitely no. So part of what Alexandria wanted was, of course, a network of bullet trains. So that debacle out in California has got to be a major setback for her. Apparently, Democratic Senator Bob Menendez got very rude with a conservative reporter who wanted to ask him some questions about the Green New Deal. The reporter is Henry Rogers of Daily Caller. And Rogers just wanted to go up and talk about, well, things like the scandals in Virginia, the late-term abortion bills. And Menendez was waiting for a train, and Rogers asked him for his thoughts on the Green New Deal, and he basically, Menendez said, I won't answer questions to the Daily Caller, period. You're trash. Anyway, story coming on out from Investment Watch Blog. Apparently, labor unions are now starting to pull away from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So she's starting to lose a lot of her support base. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a few things on my mind, but the first one is that that Congressman Omar and what she was doing with Abrams. Now, I don't like Abrams, and I thought he really is a funny-looking guy. He looks like a Muppet, you know, I mean a caricature. Or whatever, however you say, caricature. But anyway, yeah. I don't like when people like congressional committees are questioning somebody and they pull the old yes or no. You know, yes or no. It's just
yes.
Give the guy a chance. No matter who he is, give the you sit there and you tell his whole life story and then is that true? Yes or no? I mean, you let the guy. You know that bothers me. I don't. It's just. It's kind of like a bullying tactic. So you know she's.
That's exactly
there,
what it is.
You know, so she's sitting there running him down, and you know he deserves to be run down. But at the same time, you know there might be stuff that we've known about him that's not true, and he should have an opportunity to give a response instead of yes or no. So she shows like she's kind of clued in on what's going on. But at the same time, she's a bully at heart. That's what it showed me. So
well, actually, they all are. They all are. And in fact, there was a video montage that was up on whatreallyhappened.com. I think it was just yesterday, basically showing how all of these committees, they use the same thing. It's sort of become an automatic thing to just jam somebody into a yes or no answer and not give them room to muddy the water, so to speak. But I think the reason that Abrams got so upset is because in Washington, D.C., there's kind of this understanding that you don't talk about the bad things that were done in the past. Omar broke that rule.
Well, he definitely looked uncomfortable, like he wasn't expecting that line of questioning. I totally agree with you. But once again, she would have done a lot better if she would have said, how do you respond to this? And, you know, that would have been fine. Because most people would have seen that his answer was probably a lot of baloney, because you can tell that too. People are pretty good at judging, you know, liars and the truth. But I just didn't like her bullying tactic. I don't think it really gets them anything. I see the Democrats were doing that a lot with what's his name, Whitaker, and it just
yes.
doesn't help. It doesn't make them look good. It doesn't help in like pursuit of the truth. And I just don't. I think that they're coming across as bullies. That's not going to help trying to get rid of Trump, because they're going to look like bullies, and Trump's going to play that angle, like, look, oh, poor me, look what they're, you know, the presidential harassment squad, and that's what they ended up looking like. So I don't think they're doing themselves any favors. The other thing I wanted to bring up was Amazon. Imagine buying property in Long Island City, expecting you're going to make all this money, and then Amazon just pulled the plug on the deal in New York. A lot of realtors are really going to be jumping off buildings today.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of happy about it on several levels. One, you know, with Cuomo and the celebration of the abortion bill, the infanticide bill, I should call it. I'm glad that New York, this happened in New York. And it's also Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district. Long Island City, and since she's a socialist, you know, let people understand that electing socialists, this is the kind of thing that happens to you. So it's a win-win on a lot of different levels. I wish Amazon would come here to Tennessee. We could use it. Would really, you know, be a punch in the nose to New York. So that was one of the other things I wanted to comment on. And then this whole thing with the deep state, it's unbelievable that this guy McCabe isn't in prison right now. I think they should arrest Pence. I think they need a night with black helicopters, and they need to arrest all these deep state people that were involved in this attempted coup of the President of the United States. I've been saying this since day one when Brennan was on TV talking and running down the president who was just elected, that how are they allowing these kind of people, heads of the CIA, FBI, to be orchestrating an attempted coup? We're not a third world country. This really needs to be, it doesn't need, this has not, it cannot just lie. It has to be totally investigated. These people have to be put in prison, every single one of them. And that's that.
No, I'm in agreement with you on that, but the other issue is going to be Trump has got to be seen to respond to this, and I don't mean just with more tweets. I mean that what was an attempt at a coup d'etat. It was
challenge. If he's got to start firing the head of the FBI, Ray, that's there now, who's not doing anything. Now, there might be a lot of you always hear this Q and all these other people talking about secret investigations and secret indictments. Well, at the same time, if that's not the case, then this is such a sham and an embarrassment, and he really needs to do something immediately. These people need to be in prison. This guy's on 60 Minutes. He just wrote a book. What's it,
yes.
How I Attempted to Overthrow the President? Is that the title of it? Because that's what it should be.
I don't know the title, but that would certainly be an appropriate one.
And, I mean, how do you do that and get away with it in this country? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is, but it's not unbelievable. I mean, I've been aware of this, but to have him admit it on CBS and that's it, like, oh, okay. You know, people
Well, they didn't get away with it because
years.
The coup d'etat did not happen. But still, the idea that they were thinking about it, like I said, Trump has to respond to this very, very strongly. Anyway, Joe, we're going to let you go.
Thank you.
And we're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Elliot Abrams might look like a Muppet, but he can, like, disappear you and your family, and there's nothing he can do about hurting him. This guy is a very dangerous man. He's
yes.
part of that deep state. And to your previous caller, you can arrest all these people, like Hillary and stuff. This is only one layer of an onion. There's multiple layers involved.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? So if you can get one layer of it, there's another layer to replace them, and another layer, and another layer. So, I mean, there's...
I think the Clintons are definitely a layer that is very close to the center. I mean, they're not street dealers. They're not small players. You know, they're major power, and that's why the entire federal government just turned a blind eye to all the corruption. The Clinton Foundation, you know, the way the Clinton Foundation basically shortchanged those poor people of Haiti following the quake is why they're having these massive riots right now. The Clinton Foundation raised something like a huge amount of money for Haiti, and it didn't get down there. And so now they're having massive riots. And then you have the Uranium One deal that nobody seems to want to look at. So that tells me right there, the Clintons are very close to the core of the rot, the deep state, whatever you want to call it.
And I don't think we can ever get rid. Do you think? I don't think we'll ever get rid of this. I mean, Mike, you've been saying it for years, and we all know there's like a deep state, but it's really out in the open. Like, you can see it now. Like, that's one thing Trump actually has brought out, this whole deep state oligarch, you know, in this country, but it also is connected to Britain with the Skripals, and it's all linked together, man. You know, the Skripals, which is linked to Christopher Steele of the Dirty Dossier. I mean, if you connect the dots, it's basically you can figure out what's going on. You know, I mean, it's not
yes,
hard.
Yes, you can.
You know?
Well, and do you France, remember, you know? Remember this coffee mug we sell over at our What Really Happened store? It says on there, the fastest way to bring down a dictator is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it. And that is where we are right now. People can see the machinations of the deep state, and they don't like what they're looking at.
Hey, what do you make of Mike Pompeo? He's like talking like to the when he was in, was it Belfast? I think.
Yes.
No, he was in Belfast. Well, he was saying like they talked about like alternative. The EU is making alternative currencies, you know. Like, see, right there, you know, they're scared of that alternative currency. They're scared of losing the petrodollar as the world's reserve. Even a little, you know. If once the Chinese won,
well, okay, you're confusing your terms, Dustin. Okay,
oh, yeah.
The dollar is the reserve currency. The petrodollar is basically talking about linking the dollar to the oil trade, so that oil is bought and sold globally only for the dollar. Which used to be the case, but no more.
But do you think they're scared now because of him bringing that up with, you know, with China? That's, you know, that's a threat.
Oh, he said a lot of things when he's been on that tour. And you know, now we're hearing even worse things coming out of the Warsaw Mideast Summit, not just from him, but from Netanyahu. And we're going to get there in a little bit.
Okay, that was right. That was Warsaw. Sorry about that. All right, have a good show, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open again. And getting on back to the news here and getting to the war zones here. Not too long ago, Venezuelan authorities intercepted a smuggled shipment of weapons that was flown into Caracas from Miami. The airplane has now been traced back to its owner, an air freight company that is also linked to the CIA black site renditions, you know, grabbing these people and flying them off to torture centers. So already we're seeing CIA involvement on this thing. So last Tuesday, Venezuelan authorities announced that 19 rifles, 118 ammo magazines, 90 radios, 6 iPhones had been smuggled into the country via a U.S. plane that originated in Miami. And Venezuela is blocking what is described as humanitarian aid coming into his country because of his concern that it's actually weapons to arm insurgent groups that are also working for the CIA. It's the Syria ploy all over again. That's what's going on. That's how the U.S. is planning on doing it. It's not going to be a full frontal invasion from Colombia. All righty. Over in Syria, the U.S. has set up a new base on the border with Iraq. They're now out there saying, oh, the ISIS threat is growing again. That's why we have to stay here. And Syria and Russia, of course, saying, no, ISIS is pretty much gone. And it's time for you to go, too. But at this point, it's very obvious the United States has no plans to leave. They're going to occupy Syria, occupy somebody else's country. They don't have the permission of the Syrian government to be there. They were never invited to be there. They just walked on in and said, you know, we're exceptional, Stan, and here we are. Now, we mentioned this yesterday, and I want to go into it again. The remember that gas attack in Douma? And they said, oh, it's sarin. And they had this video showing all these people at the hospital and they were being treated. And a lot of people said that this looks fake because if these were victims of sarin and these medical personnel who were not wearing any protective gear, they would have gotten sick as well. Well, it turns out Western fake news, including BBC, are finally admitting that video was staged. It was a cinema is what they did. Now, they're still up in the air as to whether there really was an attack or not. I remember back when it happened, Syrian doctors were saying that there had been a conventional bombing of a building, which had resulted in dust inhalation for a lot of people. And that's what they were really trying to treat. There's another story out there saying that there was no sarin, but there may have been chlorine gas. But here's the bottom line. That video that was all over the corporate media was staged. It was produced. It was fake news. It didn't really happen. They just put out the props. They got people in the costumes. They dumped water all over kids. That was it. It was just manufactured right there. And you need to keep that in mind when you're looking at other videos and, for that matter, photos. Because now that we're on to them, corporate media is working to get better and better with these new tools. All right, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the arming up, the war zones, the tension, the bad rhetoric here. And apparently, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday went to the Polish town of Orzysk. I hope I pronounced that correct. O-R-Z-Y-S-Z, to witness NATO live fire exercises, in an unmistakable sign that the United States has its eye on Russia because the Russian border was little more than an hour away. So this is called sending a message. So anyway, now, story coming on out of Sputnik News. The commander of the U.S. agency tasked with detecting strategic attacks on American soil, NORAD, called on Canada and the United States to stop the discussions and begin deploying new systems to counter the Russian military threat. Ooh, money. We're going to get money coming on in here. So General Terence O'Shaughnessy, the U.S. commander of NORAD, says the United States and Canada must urgently upgrade their missile defenses in the face of increased Russian military activity. Actually, it's the United States that is increasing their military activity all over the world. We've got military forces in 39% of the world's countries, not counting Venezuela. And it looks like we're already covertly inside there. So the general cited Russia's renewed fighter jet patrols in the Arctic after 30 years of inactivity. But the United States is back up in the Arctic after 30 years of inactivity. Regular flights of Russian strategic bombers to the boundaries of U.S. and Canadian airspace and deployment of cruise missiles in northern regions as grounds for the upgrade. Basically, what he's saying is we got to have more money. You're all going to have to make do with less so we can have lots more weapons. That's really what they're saying. They're replaying the Cold War. And the Cold War was this huge scam in the 1950s and the 1960s where they would wave the Soviet Union. They're coming to get you. They're going to make you accept socialized medicine and do all kinds of other and basically soaked the American people for money to give to the weapons manufacturers. And we built up these huge arsenals of weapons, which fortunately for the most part were never used. And you might want to go into Google Earth, out to Arizona to what's called the Boneyard. And it is acre after acre after acre after acre of these military planes that are just corroding in the desert sun. And that is the real crime of military spending. You don't really get a return for it. That money, all the wealth that went into building all of those aircraft, it dead-ended. That's it. It's not coming back. So, all right, we're coming up here on the top of the hour, and when we come on back, we'll be in hour number two and talking about a lot more of this going on in the world. We'll be right back.
People tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.